Hello, and welcome to Oscarred for Life. I'm Jillian.
And I'm Brian.
And our mission is to watch every Oscar-nominated movie since the very first Oscars in 1929.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to listen to us talk about them.
This message will self-destruct in 3, 2...
Boom!
Literally boom. Ready?
It's time. Talk to me, Goose.
That I will. The first movie we tackled was a silent film titled Sunrise, A Song of Two Humans. It was released in the USA on November 4th, 1927.
It starred Janet Gaynor as the wife, George O'Brien as the man, and Margaret Livingston as the woman from the city. There are other characters, but they don't matter, as you can tell by the main character being named the man.
The man and the wife. Not the man and the woman, not the husband and the wife, but the man and the wife.
And then woman from the city.
We love names. 1927. Very specific. So it was directed by F.W. Murnau? I think Murnau is my favorite
Let's go with it.
Rendition of his name. This was actually the first silent film that I've ever seen. And I don't know about you, Brian, but I was very worried on behalf of my attention span.
So worried.
It's time for us to face the facts.
A segment of the show where we tell you the facts.
Okay, wait. I love fun facts, okay? They're fun. It's literally in the name.
That they are.
All right, let's get to it. So the first fact, Janet Gaynor won Best Actress. She was nominated for 3 movies that year. This makes her the first woman to win Best Actress at the Oscars, but also let's go back to that thing that I just said where I said she was nominated for 3 separate movies. What the hell?
In the same category, there were only 2 other movies nominated in this category, so she was 60% of the competition.
That's just wild. Absolutely bonkers. So Seventh Heaven, Street Angel, and Sunrise.
Can you imagine if she lost?
Could you imagine getting nominated for 3 separate movies for Best Actress and then just not winning Best Actress? That would be a big oof town. Big
Such
oof
a
town.
Big oof.
All right, enough with her.
So the director did not like dialogue, so there's very little of it, which is saying something for a silent movie.
So
all body language, baby.
All right, ooh, this is a fun fact that I could go on a 20-minute tangent about, which I won't. I've promised myself that I will not do that. But the lead actress was made to wear a wig because she was known for her long, dark hair, which they thought would be misconstrued as sexual or seductive. And they wanted her character, the wife, to be angelic, to be innocent, to represent all things pure. And so she wore a wig because that's what pure people do. They wear wigs with excellent middle part styling.
Yeah, this makes so much sense. Like,
oh yeah.
I guess
oh,
they
yeah.
just hadn't figured out that sex sells.
not. Really? We got to wait a couple years for sexy fun time films to really
at least 1928.
Right. Skip to the next fact before I do go on that 20-minute tangent.
All right, so it was actually Fox Studios' first features film with recorded sound, which in this case just means music.
It's art, Brian. It's art. Interesting thing about this, actually, is even though it was the first Fox Studios feature film with recorded sound, talkies were already coming out and people were like, okay, great, you've got recorded sound, but we've got pictures over here with people that actually talk. Wild! And so it, you know, was a little iffy. But anyway, overall, this movie was
not as bad as expected.
Not as bad as we expected. I think that's a great overall summary for us in our feelings. But now that we've arrived here, we must warn you that if you choose to continue on this journey with us, there will be spoilers! Oh my goodness.
So if you haven't seen this in the 93 years it's been out, be warned.
Be warned.
Spoilers ahead.
Be warned. You've been warned. Okay, now that you've been warned, let's get down into it. I'm very excited. So, this movie starts with an epic quote I shall read it dramatically. For whenever the sun rises and sets, in the city's turmoil or under the open sky on the farm, life is much the same. Sometimes bitter, sometimes sweet. Oh, hire me, Silent Films. I'll narrate for you.
There's a new business. Narrating old silent films.
No, I think that's a great job. If I ever decide that I have nothing better to do, oh, literally, wait, I'm making a podcast. All right, so we've got this city girl, dressed all in black, super seductive.
At least
dark
we think
colors.
It was a black and white movie. It could have been dark green. You never know.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Oh, I'm just like, it's dark, it must be black, obviously. Wow. So that means she also wasn't wearing white in that other scene. Good to know. Getting way off topic. So this city girl, she's all, ooh, let me seduce you, right? Which happens very quickly. Did you feel that? It was like
it was
instantly we were jumped into this movie and it's, he's seduced.
Very, like in the field that they were in? It was very fast.
Yeah, they were in a field, which cannot be good for what looked like a good hair day. I am not speaking from experience. What? Anyway, they're making out in a field. It's very dramatic. And she looks at him and she says, are you all mine? And he says...
Yeah, he just says yes, as you do.
He says yes, like an articulate champ. And
but
then
in subtitles.
She says... Yeah, then come with me to the city. And he says...
He's like, what about my wife? Who's back at the
and
farm.
And she says, and I quote, because I wrote it down, what if your wife drowned? Y'all.
Yeah, this movie gets going fast.
We're at like minute 5. We're doing so well. There's seduction. There is plot of murder.
At this point, he then tries to strangle the city girl.
But she makes out with him, don't you know? That's really how you get any boy to not kill you, is just to make out with them.
Works every time.
And then convince them to kill their wife.
But yeah, so then briefly after being strangled, everything is forgotten.
Yeah.
In seconds.
And, you know, maybe she liked it. Maybe she didn't. Point is, he's gonna kill his wife.
By throwing
her
off a boat.
Exactly, but he feels guilty about this, right? He's tossing and a-turning, and he's not stomaching it well.
And at this point, they have this really cool effect for at the time, where he's sitting on the bed, and you see her, like, as a ghost behind her, or behind him. And it's pretty cool. I did not know that they had the capability of doing an effect like that at this time with the current technology.
I think it was really cool.
Yeah.
A really intriguing way to capture his inner conflict of marriage and happiness or killing his wife and having a lot of sex in the city. But not the fun kind. Not the Carrie Bradshaw kind.
They then go out on the boat in this lake, river, who knows.
Yeah.
As they're going out, the dog chases after them like it knows something, jumps in the water and swims out to the boat.
Dogs are smart.
They do end up then going back to shore and bringing the dog off, which is unfortunate. Yeah. Who doesn't want their dog on a boat ride?
Exactly. No, because the dog's going to spoil the whole thing. The dog will keep him from killing his wife. Oh, that terrible, terrible furry creature. Oh, how dare. But then they go back on the water, and she's so happy. She's like, my husband is finally paying attention to me. I put on a pretty dress for him. I'm so happy. And then he tries to kill her.
Yeah, he stands up and he's standing there all ominous with his arms out.
Yeah, he's like, I am man. I am standing. And she's all, I am woman. I am sitting. Oh my God. And she freaks out and he freaks out and somehow they get back to shore and she runs away and he chases her after trying to kill her and is saying, don't be afraid of me. And she's all, nah, bitch, bye, and gets on a train, which he also gets on.
Because
then
the train
of a sudden,
is moving
she's crying.
Very slowly.
Oh, it's moving so slowly that a bike rides faster than it does and passes it. And she's crying and he's realizing that he just tried to kill his wife and that that's bad. Durr. And then came the most excellent 5-step plan to get any woman to forgive you ever. Step one.
Save them from traffic. They're going to run out into the street, almost get hit by a car, and you're going to jump in and save them.
Heroic. Step two, you're going to feed them food, more specifically, bread. And they're going to sob into the bread. The woman is going to eat the bread, but not going to forgive you because you literally tried to kill her. Step three.
You're going to go out of where you got the bread, and you're going to buy a bouquet of flowers from a street vendor.
Aw, so sweet. Still doesn't work, though. Which brings us to step four. Crash a wedding. This is one of those, they're talking about holy matrimony and love and how we need to cherish the women we marry because they are young and experienced and we must look after them and we get it. You're old, 1927. You're fucking old.
But if you do try this technique, make sure to follow what they did and not what you want to do. They did not crash the party afterwards. They crashed the ceremony only.
Not the fun part. See, I'd crash the party, you know, have a couple drinks, have a couple laughs, do a little people watching. But no, they went for the part that leads you to drinking at the party. But then we get to crying. No, he's sobbing. Before we get to step five, he sobs like a real man. He sobs.
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, he's being emotional. He does love me. Which I think, honestly, I think he does. I think it was one of those classic whoopsie, up, got seduced by a hot woman and forgot all my morals. Damn it.
Which then leads them to make out in the middle of the street, causing a massive traffic jam, as you do.
Oh, yes. Step five was making out in the middle of a street.
But it has to be a busy street.
Fun experience. It has to be a busy street in the city, and then everyone has to honk at you pissed off because you were making out in the street and no one's got time for that.
Don't use a crosswalk.
Don't do that. Nope, too easy, too convenient.
So then they go and get makeovers. More specifically, he goes and gets a shave at a barbershop. And they try briefly to give her a haircut too, but she tells them no.
She's not having it. She's like, don't you dare mess with my middle parted wig.
Then she goes and sits down in the waiting area. And next to her is a very creepy guy.
We love a good creep.
He's just being very creepy.
Sarcasm.
He steals one of her flowers, puts it in his lapel. It's very weird. But then, the man, as his character is named, comes over looking very ominous. It looks like they're about to fight or something. Man pulls out a knife, making it look like he's about to stab this guy. He leans in and steals his flower. Just cuts it right off. Walks out.
Couldn't you almost say that he,
deflowered a guy in 1927 on film? Yes, you can.
Let's go, representation! But back to the wife. So, they go to a fair. As one does when you're re-in love with someone, you go to the fair, where there are roller coasters that give you anxiety, because it's 1927. I do not know why I don't know why I went Slavic. I went Slavic for a hot second. Did you notice that?
I did notice that, but I need to go on a tangent here on this roller coaster. As an engineer in training, this roller coaster was so problematic. This roller coaster came down the track, and the track was wiggling side to side like 3 or 4 feet. OSHA would have hated it. I don't think OSHA would be the ones to inspect it, but they would have hated it even though they don't inspect it, this thing. This wooden roller coaster looked like it was about to fall over.
Yeah, we loved some anxiety about roller coasters. You see, that's the problem with me. Side tangent about my own life. With roller coasters, I got mad anxiety, man. Like, I'll lose my shit over a lot of things. But I'm also a thrill junkie. And you may ask, how can one who has such anxiety... I just choked on my own nerves. How can someone with so much anxiety also be a thrill junkie? How does that life? Those are very incompatible lifestyles. And I'm telling you right now that I've lived with both of these lifestyles. They do not go hand in hand, but you just kind of force them to love each other, which is, really fun. But roller coasters is my point of this, so anxiety producing, and you're there and you're panicking and your hands are shaking and you're like, why am I doing this to myself? I have anxiety. And now we're going up and up and up and up and up and up, and I regret every decision I've ever made in my life. And then it tips over. And then the part of you that's a thrill junkie loses their freaking mind. It's like, this is the best thing that you've ever done. Put your hands up, girl. We're going down the roller coaster. Woohoo! And that is me reenacting me on a roller coaster.
Very well.
Where were we?
Okay, so they go to this like carnival game. Right. So my notes tell me that they're trying to win a pig at this carnival game, because why don't you want to win a pig?
Oh, the pig. The pig is the best part. Can I tell the pig story?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's so good.
Tell the pig
story. It's so good. We love this pig. This pig is so good.
Best part of the movie
by far. Okay, so this little piggy, he's in this game, and he's like, you know what? One day, I'm going to make it out. I'm going to make it big. And they're playing this game, and finally, the pig, like, they kind of win it, and the pig gets let out. And the pig goes, you know, I'm just going to escape, and it's going to be great. And so he makes his getaway, right? This pig has gotten away. I've named him Bonksy. So Bonksy is running, and he makes it to the ballroom, into this magical ballroom.
And the man is chasing him, by the way, trying to be the hero here.
Right, exactly. They need to get this pig.
It is also a very small pig.
It's a piglet. Bonksy the piglet. And Bonksy's scurrying, and then it cuts to this kitchen scene, and then the chef in the kitchen is sneakily drinking wine. But Bonksy gets into the kitchen, he's like, I'm here, I'm in the kitchen, and this is not the best place for me to be because, like, people, you know, bacon. But, like, still, kitchen is better than fair.
So the cook freaks out, drops the bottle of wine. It does not break.
And Bonksy is like, oh my god, wine. And so Bonksy drinks the wine. So this pig drinks up this wine, starts slipping over himself and a stumbling, and it's this whole thing. Bonksy's trashed. If you're going to watch this movie, watch it just for the sake of watching a pig get drunk off his cute little squealy behind and then proceed to break into a liquor cabinet. I promise you, you will not be disappointed, because Bonksy, the icon of pigs, after drinking a bottle of wine, proceeded to break into a liquor cabinet, and I have not felt so proud of a pig since Charlotte's Web.
He gets in there, knocking over all the bottles, and it's great.
But then the man catches the pig, and everyone's like, oh, yay, huzzah, the pig can go back to the fair. And you're like, Bonksy, I feel bad for you, but you got an adventure in you. And you live the high life of being tipsy in the kitchen while hiding from everyone dancing.
Everyone's celebrating because the man caught the pig. The band gives him a fanfare, and they start dancing. And then comes the second best side scene of the entire movie. So
it's good.
Okay, so there's this woman, and she's wearing a dress with, like, straps on her shoulders. And there's this guy standing next to her. And one of the straps falls off her shoulder. The guy is looking really uncomfortable, reaches up, puts the strap back on her shoulder. She doesn't notice at all.
She thanks him, of course.
But she's very into watching the man and the wife dance in the middle of this dance floor. Her dress strap falls down several more times, and he puts it back up because she's not paying attention. He's looking really uncomfortable at this point. It keeps falling off. He keeps putting it back. And then the one on the other side falls down, and he's getting frustrated, so he just reaches over and pulls the other one down so they're even. She then turns around and smacks him in the face. And then it cuts away. But that was a great scene right there.
I really am on the side of the guy with the OCD. I gotta admit, though, man, like, that was... I felt that very deeply.
If you can't fix it, make it even.
But then we get to the next part, and they're drinking, they're boozing, they're having a couple laughs. There we go, for a movie reference. What's Chicago doing in the middle of 1927? Anyway, so they're boozing, drinking, having a couple laughs, and
they go to pay, and he's out of money.
Exactly, he's out of money, but she isn't. So she pulls out her little coin purse, dumps out her cute little coins, and like the boss bitch that she is, pays. What a queen, what a woman. Let's go, 1927.
Okay, so now they get back on the train. They're having a great time. And then they get back on a boat. And they're sailing. And then...
But oh no! Is that a storm?
A storm out of nowhere? Suddenly lightning cracks across the thing, there's music going. You can't really hear the storm because it's a silent movie, but there's music that suggests the noise of a storm, and things are getting pretty dicey. Then he grabs the bundle of reeds he was planning on using to save himself when he capsized the boat to kill her, and straps them to her back. Now, I just want to point out here that if you were to strap some flotation device to someone's back, and they were to fall into the water and, let's say, be unconscious or weak, they're going to float face down and drown. So I'm not quite sure if he wasn't thinking this through or if he was subconsciously trying to kill her anyway, even after this great day in the city they just had.
This has been Life Lessons with Brian. But for real, if you want to survive, don't strap it to your back.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
So... he makes it back to shore, and she doesn't.
The boat's gone, by the way.
The boat's gone, she's gone, he's on shore, he's screaming to all the people in their farm, village, land, going, help, help, my wife. And so they all run out, and they're racing to get a search party together to look for the wife. And the woman from the city, did you forget about her? Right, because if we go back in time, this whole plot is about him killing his wife and... then re-falling in love with her and not killing his wife. Anyway, so the woman from the city goes, oh, he went through with it. He drowned his wife. What a superb acting job he's doing right now. He looks so distraught. So they can't find the wife anywhere. And the woman from the city is gleeful. She's got a little pep in her step. She's gonna take this man back to the city with her because she got him to kill his wife.
Yeah, and then she tries to kiss him, and he proceeds to strangle her, as you do.
He does. He tries to then turn around and kill her because he's grief-stricken because his wife is dead, supposedly, because they couldn't find her anywhere. He's, you know, being one of his three characteristics, ominous, and bounding towards her, and he's about to choke her, and then you hear this voice in the back. Not actually, because it's a silent film, but...
you see someone waving in the background.
Waving in the background going, she's not dead! She's alive!
We found her!
In which, at this point, he drops the woman from the city. She runs away back to the city. He runs back into his house. He sees his wife, whose hair has come undone and is no longer middle parted. And he kisses her, and she kisses him.
And then he asks, where was she? How'd you find her? And this guy's like, I know the currents. I looked around the bend.
That's the end of the movie. And I don't know about you, Brian, but I don't know if I learned a life lesson from this.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely learned that pigs are entertaining when drunk.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
learned the 5-step rule on how to get any woman to forgive you.
Saving them from traffic, feeding them, getting them flowers, crashing a wedding, and then making out in a busy street. This movie was nominated for Best Unique and Artistic Production. This is a category that existed only in 1929. This movie won the Oscar for it. It's insane to think that a movie starring a drunk pig... no, that actually makes sense. A movie starring a drunk pig winning an Oscar. That checks out.
So it got 4 nominees and 3 wins.
This is... a classic silent film, and overall, it's worth the watch. All right.
That's all, folks.
I'm Jillian.
And I'm Brian.
And this has been Oscar'd for Life.
Bye.